Throughout our vast galaxy, there is a near uncountable populace of humanity dotted across a million worlds, orbital stations or void ships, and all of whom will have dedicated their lives towards toiling away for one god or another. Whilst those who worship the god emperor of mankind tend to pray for peace, safety, and for the sanctity of their homes, there are others who have turned to the darker powers in search for a more tangible gift. We are all familiar with the sickening nature of the warp. It is a swirling vortex of unreality which seemingly surrounds and permeates our own plane of existence, and its very nature is formed from the ever-shifting emotional outflow of our own fickle and mortal lives. This immaterial realm is populated by a veritable ocean of terrible beings known as demons, all of which will reflect an aspect from one of the four mighty chaos gods themselves. These colossal beings are the undisputed rulers of their nightmarish hellscapes, and it is from their capricious manipulations and meddlesome interferences that many of the more dire events of the galaxy found their first origins. With that being said, it can sometimes be rather difficult for the gods to disrupt or aggravate our flow of reality. And even if they may be all powerful in the warp, breaching our own plane of existence is no small feat. As such, instead of committing a great deal of energy in forming a warp rift, or by willing a demonic incursion into existence, the gods can empower a mere mortal who will carry out their devilsome wishes within real space. This aspirant champion will be swelled with the Stygian flame of the ruinous powers, elevating them into an unstoppable force of destructive carnage. There is a steep price to pay for giving up one's humanity to drink from the immaterial well. And yet, countless fools have thrown away their very souls, all in the pursuit of demonic greatness. With this in mind, today we are to explore the immortal champions of the chaos gods themselves, the demon princes. These are the newly formed demonic lords of the warp, who have traded in their last vestigial scraps of their blackened hearts to ascend as a chosen demon of their patron god. In giving up their humanity, they are to be reborn within the Immaterium as an immortal prince of the ruinous powers. Firstly, we shall explore the nature of the maddened, chaotic adherents who aspire towards achieving this goal before delving into the forbidden archives to learn of the various tainted gifts that one may receive. Finally, we shall test our faith by looking unto the princes themselves, all to learn of their malign essence, which will hopefully provide you with some notion of how to best banish these bloated husks of humanity. The first thing to understand is that for the dark gods, whilst they may have many eyes and ears situated throughout the ever-shifting wastelands of the warp, it still takes a great deal of effort to garner their attention. They are almost entirely consumed by the conflict known as the Great Game, in which the gods are always attempting to wage war and gain the upper hand over their deific siblings, all so that they can name themselves as the true overlord to all of unreality. There are many foolish cultists who truly believe that if they find a dark, squalid corner, then carve out a blood-stained octagram and sit in worship, that Khorne himself will descend from his brass throne to bequeath them with a great blazing weapon. This, however, is not the case. In all likelihoods, it will merely be a craven lesser demon who responds to the cultist's call. And you must understand that if this never-born entity breaks through into our reality, that the only gift it would bring would be that of raucous bloodshed. With this in mind, we must now consider the scale of monstrous actions which could possibly cause a chaos god to turn their gaze towards a foolish mortal. A human would have to utterly dedicate their life towards committing true atrocities. And even then, it could take decades or centuries for one of the gods to finally take notice of this long path of blood. Due to the sheer length of time needed for this dark campaign, it is rather rare, although not unheard of, for an unmodified mortal human to succeed in their malevolent mission. In most cases, it will be a member of the fallen legions of the Astartes who can endure the long trials, and as such, many of the prominent demon princes of the galaxy were former space marines who saw that through their own enhanced abilities, that they could reshape the galaxy through the flames of chaos. It is rather difficult, and some may consider it as an impossibility for the Chaos Marines to ignore the constant whispering of demons who would tempt them with the cornucopia of ephemeral gifts at their disposal. It is made ever more challenging to forego the boons of chaos, given that the vast majority of traitor Marines will be found within the warp itself, where they will reside upon demon worlds, co-inhabited by the endless legions of demons who would eagerly consort and manipulate the fallen angels. Furthermore, it would be impossible for a Chaos Marine to ignore the fact that many of his compatriots have already been swelled by the essence of chaos. Countless Marines, possessed by lesser demons, will walk along the marred, warped ground with their limbs having been replaced by vast, crushing pincers, or by talons so sharp that they seem to tear through to reality itself. Additionally, it is all too easy to see the gifts of chaos by looking into the ranks of the most dedicated of legions, perhaps most notably of the Death Guard. The Plague Marines are walking effigies of the love given to them by their patron lord, Grandfather Nurgle. Their bodies weep with oozing cysts, organs spill out before them, and their skin seemingly melts and flecks off in dark pools of corrosive fluid. Yet despite all this, Nurgle has blessed them with a level of resilience and durability which could never be achieved without his influence. Each Marine has sprouted with chaotic rot, and whilst it may look painful, they have been empowered, and their lives are all the better for giving in to the caring embrace of the Plague Father. Returning to our sermon, we must understand that in many ways it does in fact make sense for a Chaos Marine to aspire towards reaching demonhood. They are surrounded by the temptations of the warp, and since many of their brothers have also fallen down the dark path, then why should they not also partake in these tainted delicacies? As such, a Marine may start by formulating his plan of how he will garner the attention of the unholy quartet. Perhaps this will start with him challenging his aspirant squad leader to a duel, and pledging his fallen skull to the blood god Khorne. Alternatively, he may procure a putrescent, diseased artifact of Nurgle, which he will use to spread malignity and death through the battlefields of our galaxy, all to share the tainted gift of his plague lord. These small actions are far from enough to lead to an ascension to a demon prince, and yet they do still aid them in positioning themselves to where they can carry out some far grander operations. Once the Marine has proven himself as a competent and ambitious warrior, he will likely be given a group of legionaries to command over, and this will be the start of his snowball towards committing greater and greater atrocities. There is only so much one man can do, and so at some point he will need to procure a warband who can act on his behalf and wage a bloody war in his name. The Marine and his squad will tear their way across countless battlefields, with every action and every kill being dedicated towards their chosen god. After carving out a name for himself, the Marine may receive his first gift from their patron lord. This will most usually be what is known as a mark of chaos. This ephemeral brand will signify that this individual has pledged themselves to a god, and that the warp has responded by acknowledging their constant efforts in claiming souls for their liege. In addition, it will bestow the first traces of power to the marked aspirant. They are somewhat subtle but still noticeable boons which reflect the very nature of the god who they have chosen to worship. So, for example, someone with a mark of Khorne will find themselves stronger, with their blood pumping otherworldly energies through their grossly engorged musculature. Alternatively, a mark of Slaanesh may cause the afflicted to find themselves to be hypersensitive to all sensations, with an increased proclivity towards performing scandalous acts. As the aspirant continues in carving out their war path, they will inevitably draw a larger following to their cause. There is nothing more terrifying than someone who has lost their mind in the pursuit of nefarious ambition, and yet they will find innumerable bodies who will aim to follow in their bloody wake, all to reap in the same successes as their new champion. The ranks of this warband may swell to a large enough size that some of its newer and yet exemplary members will also receive a mark of chaos themselves. This can be rather a point of worry to the ruling champion, since the last thing they would want would be to see an upstart successor laying claim to their birthright of demonhood. This anxiety, however, is typically only found in those who do not truly believe that they are on the warp-tainted path which will lead them to ascension. Those who are confident in their abilities and of their determination to see their ambitions through to the bitter end will ignore the cries of lesser marines who they know could never achieve the same levels of glory as of themselves. Around the time where the aspirant champion has swelled his warband to a modest size is when he may start to receive further gifts and blessings from their patron god. With a body count almost assuredly in the hundreds, possibly even thousands, and with years of bloody carnage brought about by their forces, they will see themselves as being long overdue for some recognition over their actions. The first of these gifts may be quite small, such as with the initial mark of chaos, but as we are to soon discuss, this can be somewhat of a hidden blessing. A god may simply enhance the already present mark of chaos, further empowering the chosen champion with more of their tainted essence. More typically, however, they will be granted some form of a mutation, which will manifest itself as a beneficial feature to the aspirant. For example, a champion of Tzeentch would have initially been branded with a mark which would have enhanced their psychic connection to the warp, allowing them to conjure up terrible magics from that hellish plane of unreality. But beyond this, once they have proven themselves as a truly gifted sorcerer, the changer of ways may ordain that this individual would be more effective if they had a third glowing eye upon their forehead, which could see through the shifting currents of the warp itself. Other mutations can be far more striking in their appearance when compared to a simple third eye. It is not uncommon for an aspirant to find their limbs slowly being replaced by warped and corrupted appendages made from the very essence of the immaterium. One may find their hands having been reshaped into fleshy whips, or that their head has sprouted with great ramming horns. Though they did not choose the gift, it is rare for one to reject that which has been bequeathed unto them by a darkly divine power. They will readily and happily use whatever was grafted onto them in battle, all to bring further glory to their god and to prove that they are indeed a true champion of chaos. With the champion mutating, shifting, and orienting their very being towards that of their patron god, we must discuss a rather important point. Once an individual has quenched their thirst for power from the dark and corrupted rivers of the warp, they can never go back and undo the damage that has been done. When you readily accept the gifts of chaos, your very soul will begin to fragment and deteriorate. You have not been gifted these powers so freely. For the Chaos Gods themselves must always receive some form of payment for their actions. They will universally lay claim to your eternal soul, and from this point on, you will be beyond the realm of salvation. As demonic limbs slowly grow and take over your body, you may find your actions being somewhat altered than of how you would expect. Sometimes this may take the form of acting more recklessly towards dangerous situations, where instead of planning out the tactics of a battle, you simply rush forth, desperate to stain the ground with the crimson blood of your foes. Similarly, as you start to feel the warp overtaking you, whilst it may be a good pain, it becomes ever more challenging to reason with yourself over what would be the best strategic decision to make. You may find your mind locked in thought loops, with only the babbling cries of demons reverberating with their cacophonous wails. It is at this point that only the strongest of champions will emerge unscathed from their warp-tainted ordeal. Those who have a weaker constitution, or for those who simply did not hold a true ambition for power, then their gifted mutations will become too much for them to bear, and they will devolve into a mindless creature known as a Chaos Spawn. The mutations of Chaos are inherently unstable when manifested within a mortal. Our bodies were never designed to sustain a dozen demonic limbs, or to become the home of lesser demons who sought to use us as a comfortable host. It is because of this that when a champion is granted with too many mutated gifts, that they will eventually become overwhelmed, and the demonic gifts will overtake and utterly consume whatever mortal remains were to be found, leaving naught but a gibbering mass of pulsating flesh in its stead. These abominations are nothing if not disgusting. They writhe and squirm with jutting, malformed limbs falling and reforming themselves upon the twisted frame of their host. There is rarely any semblance of humanity left in these creatures, and oftentimes they will be bereft of even a face, with it having been replaced by a gaping, fanged mouth, ever gnawing at the air as if a succulent meal was placed before it. They are simply to be seen as the product of failure in the path towards demonhood. There is no trace of intellect or judgment left, since their mind will have been simply consumed by the wriggling masses of mutated limbs which seem to have found a home within the corrupted remnants of this mortal fool. It is no wonder, then, that these beings cannot take up their old position as a leader of a warband once more. There is simply nothing left within them other than the pulsating essence of chaos, and so their role within a chaotic company has been reduced to one singular purpose. The spawn will be unleashed onto a battlefield as something akin to a rabid dog. It will charge and rush at any foes it can find, ripping them asunder with their many limbs and ephemeral claws. Whilst effective, none are expecting the spawn to survive a battle. It would be better for them to be obliterated, simply to avoid having to deal with the gibbering mass. The threat of becoming a Chaos Spawn is very much a real one for the champions of Chaos, and as I stated, it is only from those who have a truly tenacious grasp of reality and of their goals who will avoid this most terrible fate. Now that we have discussed the path to ascension and of the failures who could not live beyond their own ambitions, let us now turn to the true victors of this path and learn of the demon princes themselves. The process of becoming a demon prince is not a slow progression as it may be with a chaos spawn. They do not simply grow one arm, then one leg, and all the rest over the course of several years. Instead, mortals will typically be ascended into demonhood after fully proving themselves as being worthy enough to sustain this gift from their patron gods. This may be in the form of committing a genocidal act upon a world and by pledging the billions of souls all towards their lord. Alternatively, one may prove that they have given away the last of their humanity through a great betrayal, whereby the sacrifice of their most trusted and closest companion would be evident of their willingness to dedicate themselves to chaos. It is still possible at this stage to descend as a chaos spawn if one is not strong enough to handle the flowing currents of warp energy rushing through them. But for those who can take it, then a great future awaits them. The actual event of ascension can take many different forms, and each will be unique to their God and chosen champion. But it seems that when one is ordained to reach demonhood, that they will be eclipsed in a blinding light, with immaterial flames washing over the place where they once stood. The ground itself will crack and buckle under the weight of the warp, crashing down onto them, with arcs of black lightning sparking out into the surrounding environment. It is only when the deafening, cacophonous roars of this event have transpired, and after the smoke has cleared, will the champion of chaos now stand as a fully formed demon prince. They will have forfeited their humanity and given up their very souls to become an immortal being who will serve their God forevermore. Their very human essence will have been snatched up and consumed by the God, leaving only a faded memory that this creature was once born of flesh and blood. But that time of disgusting mortality has long since passed for this ascended Lord of Battle. Depending on their patron God, the prince will stand as a resplendent representation of their will and nature. However, they will all prove to be truly formidable and terrifying figures. I will discuss the differences between the different adherents, but in general, the princes will stand as hulking beasts who will tower over any who dared to oppose their will. Their heads will often have sprouted great horns, or their jaws will have filled out with mighty tusks. Parts of their armor will have fused to their bodies, being imbued with the same demonic essence which flows through their wearer, making it just as much a part of them as their own beating heart. A prince of Khorne will have readily lost their souls to enhance their already masterful abilities in spilling blood. Their strength and speed will have been swelled to a level truly unmatched by any mortal, to the point where dueling with a Prince of Khorne would be to spell out your certain death. Their old armor will have been reformed and reshaped into one of thick brass, coated with the charred skulls of their enemies. Meanwhile, the new prince will be gifted with a demonic weapon, typically a large axe or sword, which will be eagerly used to carve the very galaxy in twain. Most often these beings will have blood-red skin, but sometimes they will be covered in a layer of dark, shaggy fur, almost as if they stand as a great werewolf from the old Terran myths. Those who followed in the path of Tzeentch will have arisen as a being of stupendous psychic prowess. There will be few beings in the galaxy who can go toe-to-toe in a psionic engagement with one of these lords, with only the greater demons known as the Lords of Change being more powerful in the art of warp-shaping. In addition, these Tzeentchian princes will have been gifted with a rather improved sense of cognition towards the world. They will have gained some semblance of foresight towards the events of the galaxy, and as such, they can further plan and execute their capricious schemes to achieve far greater and more impactful results. Whilst they can take many forms, there are numerous demon princes of Tzeentch who have been encountered within the shape of a great half-avian creature, always found to be clutching onto an ancient shimmering book, and with giant multicolored wings sprouting from their backs. A putrescent and noxious prince of Nurgle will most obviously be one of the more revolting of the Plague Lord's followers. If a demon prince is to stand as an ascended and chosen champion of the gods themselves, then it is obvious as to why their form will be rather grand and awe-inspiring. As such, the Nurglite princes will be found bloated beyond all belief, being covered in sickening welts which burst forth to reveal swarms of virulent pox flies. Their decayed flesh appears so haggard and so decomposed that it must be a true miracle for it to somehow stay attached to the diseased and exposed bones which jut forth from the beast's putrid, rotten flesh. Aside from their gangrenous appearance, they will most often carry great rusted metal blades into battle, which, while not the sharpest of instruments, will leave an indelible scar of plague wherever it is swung. As a starkly different prince, those who were ascended under Slaanesh will have risen as beings of near divine perfection. Their skin will be as smooth as polished glass, being marred only by the intricate patterns and colorations which they have personally adorned themselves with. Rather than wearing gaudy, over-designed armor like those savages who follow Khorne, the Slaanesh princes prefer to pick and choose only the most finely woven of threads to coat their magnificent frames with. And thanks to the taint of the warp, these ephemeral robes will offer up just as much protection to them as would the armor of a tank. Every day spent in the life of these splendorous lords is one of pure opulence and overindulgence. They strive to break down the limitations of flesh, all to discover their own personal forbidden fruit with which they will be sure to spread around across the galaxy. It is important to note here that if one possesses a strong enough will and their souls are steeled to the point where the infections of chaos will not reduce them to a gibbering mass of gelatinous flesh, then they can also ascend as a demon prince of chaos, undivided. These individuals will have been gifted with the boons of each god, growing into a veritable demigod themselves as they find their body becoming a battleground for the rival deities, who each wish to outdo one another with their generous mutations. The title of most infamous and most terrible of the demon princes to Chaos Undivided would almost certainly belong to Belakor, the Dark Master. He was the first being to have shaken off his mortal coil and ascend to demonhood, and ever since the ancient days of the galaxy, he has been a true blight to all who cling on to their dying light of hope. At this point, now that a champion of chaos has ascended as a demon prince, they will have become a truly unique individual within their warband. None other than the prince themselves can boast that they are an immortal being who has garnered the most highly prized gifts of the very gods themselves, and as such, there should be none more suited to leading the Chaos Marines through their diabolical campaigns. Furthermore, rising to the position of demonhood grants many benefits within the warp, including the fact that they will now own a demon world to call their own. These corrupted and tainted planets are made of the very essence of the Immaterium itself, and as such, the prince can shape it to their liking, forming palaces or fortresses wherever they please within the landscapes. With a world to their own and a name now carved out in history, it is never long until smaller warbands begin to flock to the prince's cause. It is not uncommon for a great demon prince to lord himself over untold thousands of chaotic followers, ranging from pathetic cultists, barely cognizant of the glory before them, to chaotic Astartes who stand as veterans of the long war, who are all too aware of the power held within the taloned grip of a demon. Whilst all these boons and changes sound rather spectacular, an interesting point to note is that the demon princes are not held to the same level of regard by their demonic kindred. The Neverborn, formed within the swirling depths of the warp, see those who once held their mortality as weak beings who did not deserve to gain the gift of eternal life. Greater demons would consider the princes as tainted beings, who have no place in either the plane of physical reality, nor within the warp itself. Despite this, even if the demons do not accept their newfound cousins, if the prince is powerful enough, then he will be able to easily submit any who oppose their will, and so they will have no problem in gaining the support of true-born demonic creatures. All of the beings which I have previously described were born of mortal men and women who ascended to an unmatched level of power through their own heinous and damnable actions. But now we must ask ourselves a question. What would happen if someone who was already a demigod strayed down the dark path of damnation and ascended to demonhood? The answer to this is simple. You would bear witness to a demon Primarch, a terrible and cursed being, formed out of the failings of the Emperor's own children, who pledged their souls to chaos in the calamitous civil war of the Horus Heresy. It is rumored within the darkest corners of the inquisitorial librariums that the Primarchs were enhanced with certain traits which found their origins within the warp itself, and thanks to this, for those who chose to ascend, they were further empowered and emboldened by the flowing currents of immaterial energy. Across the galaxy, there are truly none more infamous than these fallen angels. As it stands today, we know of 6 demon Primarchs who exist and operate from their nefarious homes within the warp. These would be Angron, the bloody red angel of the World Eaters, Fulgrim, the perfected Phoenician of the Emperor's Children, Lorga Aurelian, Archpriest of the Primordial Truth and ruler of the Word-Bearers, Perturabo, the cold and pragmatic Lord of the Iron Warriors, Mortarion, the pale King of the Blighted Death Guard, and finally, Magnus the Red, the Crimson Sorcerer King of the Fallen Thousand Suns. There are none more powerful and none more able to rip the galaxy asunder than of the tainted progeny of the Emperor himself. Should a demonic Primarch be encountered, then it is sure to spell the doom of that world, for they have drank so deeply from the warp that they can almost be viewed as the personal champions to the chaos gods themselves, and they will not be met with defeat with the backing of an Empyrean deity. This shall bring an end to our sermon. Do be warned, citizens, that the presence of a demon prince upon a battlefield will inevitably lead to death on a truly unimaginable scale. The prince alone is a formidable being to kill, but they will be accompanied by countless hordes of demons and chaotic followers who will readily plunge the world into fire on but the word of their ruling lord. Furthermore, the Inquisition does not look favorably upon those who have witnessed such a malign entity. There is no such thing as innocence, only degrees of guilt. And to look upon the face of a demon prince is to be a crime unto itself. As such, if a demonic incursion led by an arisen champion occurs upon an imperial planet, then the only true recourse can be to declare an exterminatus and to purge the world in the Promethean flames of our undying faith. There are thousands of demon princes at large across the galaxy, and unfortunately, we will likely never be rid of them. If one managed the unthinkable and somehow killed one of these beings, then they will simply reappear back within the depths of the warp, where they will be able to recuperate their losses and return to the galaxy, once more set on their destructive warpath. So long as the 4 gods still exist, we will always be plagued by those who seek power from them. And unfortunately for humanity, those heinous beings will be ever ready to ascend more and more champions to join them at their side. Dearest citizens, hold this knowledge close to your hearts and do be warned of the existence of those who have abandoned their souls in place of power. They cannot be bargained with, and you would be but a worm to think that you can trifle with their near divine being. None may challenge their reality-shaking might, and they will be sure to purge the very stars themselves, all for the tainted glory of the dark gods.